Let us now turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and read at verse 12. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The prophet Zephaniah was a contemporary of Jeremiah the prophet. And he, like Jeremiah, presented and preached the threatenings of God in the judgments that were pronounced upon the land for their sins, and yet he foretold better days. Yes, the church would be cleansed, God would cast out the enemy, and he would comfort his own people. And this is what we find in this latter part of the chapter, the comforts of God towards his church. God comforts his dear people. And the greatest comfort of all is the fact that God is present with his people. God is in the midst of Zion. And this is the greatest comfort, because though the Lord's people have their standing and position within the church, yet they are poor in themselves. They are a humble people in a suffering condition. And that is what we consider first of all in our text. I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. So they are an afflicted people, and that's what we consider the pain of God's people. And secondly, the poverty of God's people. I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. And thirdly, we have the privilege of God's people. That is, they trust in the name of the Lord. And if you're trusting in the name of the Lord tonight, what a privilege that is. It's a great blessing to be enabled to be putting your trust in God. So the pain and the poverty and the privilege of God's people. And how we all need to be brought to this condition of affliction and poverty, especially spiritual poverty, so that we would recognize our need of God's blessings and feeling our need of God's grace and benefits, we would also go to him for it. We would be brought to pray from the heart for these things that we feel our need of. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. Do you feel poor tonight? Are you afflicted tonight? Well, here's a text of God's word for you. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, but also lay hold of the privilege, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. First of all, the pain of God's people. And these are people who are in the midst of Zion. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. And, of course, Zion represents the church. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The Lord has indeed preserved a witness for the truth. And those who cleave to the truth are not always great in number. It's been pointed out many times, if everyone who was brought up under the truth had remained in the church, then the church would be greater in number. And that doesn't apply just to our church, but all the branches of the visible church. So the church would be much larger than it is if people had cleaved to the Lord with purpose of heart. But the church is not large, and there is a remnant that is left, the remnant of Israel, verse 13. And God will leave in the midst of his church this remnant. They will remain. That's the word. What the word leave means. That those who abide, those who remain, God will leave. He will let them continue. He will leave in the midst of thee. And who are these people that he will leave in the church? They are the remnant. Who are they? They are the afflicted ones. Those who are, as it were, in the heart of the visible church, who are they? They are the afflicted and poor, spiritually. In other words, they are the elect. They are members of the invisible church. Those who are, as it were, in the heart of the church. Those whom God looks to through all the professions, through all the seeming appearance, the outward appearance, the seeming holiness. God knows the heart, and that's what we have to remember tonight. God is looking past the outward, the external, all that meets our eyes. God looks beyond that. He sees into our hearts. And God will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. So they are afflicted, and this word means basically poor and weak and humble. It's translated in different ways. The word describes primarily a person that is suffering some kind of disability or distress. They are those who suffer. They are those who endure the infliction of pain. And that's what afflictions are. They are painful. The circumstances would not be afflictions if they didn't hurt. We do go through painful situations. And they are not joyous, but grievous. But these people who endure such painful circumstances and experiences, these are the very ones whom God leaves in the midst of his church. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. So the trials that the Lord's people go through, many of them do cause pain. And many things that we go through make us sad. And the Lord will leave in the midst of the church those who are sorrowful, those who feel hurt, and those who are sad. As we read that the Lord will gather them, verse 18, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. In the solemn assembly, of course, that is the place where God is worshipped and God's glory is revealed there, and his people worship him together in fear. Psalm 89, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. It is a place where God's honor dwelleth. But sadly, sometimes in the visible church, the very opposite happens. God is dishonored. And this is a reproach to the cause of Christ, when God is dishonored even amongst those who profess to be his people. But God is saying, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And these are among those who grieve over the afflictions of Joseph. They see the afflictions of the church, the trials that the church goes through, their perplexing problems, and these things matter to the Lord's people. They don't matter to the unconverted. Those who are not really the Lord's people, but only look like it, they're not really concerned about the cause of Christ. They may be concerned about their position, their reputation, but they're not concerned about the honor of God in the church. They're not concerned about the reproach and the enemies of God blaspheming when they look at worldly people, covetous people in the church, as we all hear about in the professing visible church, the wider church. And so the reproach of the church is a burden to God's people, and they feel the hurt that is given to the cause of Christ. They feel it themselves. It is grievous to them when, for example, heretical teachers enter the church and preach false doctrine and deny the fundamentals of Christianity. This burdens God's people. How long will this go on? Here are people who dress up like ministers in the clergy, and yet they deny the resurrection of Christ. They deny the Trinity. They deny the inspiration of Scripture. And that is a reproach on the cause of Christ, and the Lord's people grieve over that. They are burdened by these things. And this is one of the reasons that cause them pain in their affliction. They cannot remain indifferent about these things. Does this describe you tonight? You cannot feel indifferent to the cause of Christ, how low the cause is in much of the world. Well, the Lord will leave in the midst of his church an afflicted and poor people. And they are confiding in the Lord. We'll come to that. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. As we read in Psalm 28 and verse 18, the psalmist says, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." And it's also interesting to note that the word for affliction, which also means pain or poverty, if I remember correctly, it also means meekness. And it describes this word, or the root of the word also describes the outcome of affliction. What is the intended effect of the painful experiences we go through? The intended effect is humility. When one has been chastened, that one is meek. And I noticed when my preparation for the prayer meeting address was almost finished that the word is the very same as we find in chapter 2 and verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth." So here's a people who are afflicted, yes, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It's the very same word for affliction. Now, we're not to seek affliction, but we're to seek the benefit of affliction, which is to be meek, to be lowly, to be humble. And again, it's the very same root of the word that describes the character of Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek. He was afflicted," or he was chastened, or he was humble as a result of affliction, "above all the men that were upon the face of the earth." So clearly, friends, it is our duty to seek this meekness, to seek the good consequences or outcome or the good effect of being afflicted, that we would learn from our afflictions, that we would find it is good for us because it teaches us to submit to God's will and follow God's commandments. Well, not only are God's people afflicted, they are also poor. So in the second place, the poverty of God's people. And again, this word brings before us the low condition of God's people, those who are poor and lowly. Perhaps they are demoted in society. They're looked down upon. The word emphasizes deprivation, someone being deprived and not having their needs met. And so that describes the Lord's people, those who are poor and needy. They're an afflicted and poor people. This is the kind of people that God has in his church. It's not always the rich and powerful and influential, but those who are literally poor economically. But, of course, it is mostly describing those who are spiritually poor, those who are despised by the world, and they are deprived of many things. They're neglected by others. They're not always getting on in society because the world is not keen to give holy people the best promotions and so on. And so they are even persecuted and despised by the world. But they are poor which brings before us, they are humble, they are lowly. So poor and lowly go together. They are in low circumstances, they're in a low condition. In other words, they are humble, they are meek and patient and bearing injury, and always standing on their rights. They are willing to defer to others, and they are feeling their helplessness, afflicted and poor. They are so poor they have nothing of themselves. They are weak and they stand in need of God's strength. And how good it is to lay hold of the promise, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." If we're feeling strong and feeling we're strong enough to take on anything that we meet with, well, we're not really dependent upon the Lord in that kind of condition. It's when we feel weak that we're going to God for strength. So the poor, they feel helpless in themselves, and they also feel helpless in regard to others. They look around the church at large and how they long for the church to be delivered from reproach and other problems, but they feel so helpless. They feel so poor. What can we do? They feel powerless in these circumstances. So they feel helpless. They are a poor people. They are lowly. They are needy. They don't always have the best suggestions at the time. They're seeking wisdom. They're needing guidance. They're looking to the Lord for help. They feel helpless in regard to their enemies. When the powers of darkness seem to progress, and they don't know what to do, but again, like Jehoshaphat, they feel helpless, and yet their eyes are upon the Lord. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And so it is when we are brought into these circumstances where we feel helpless, we feel our lack, that we don't have the strength or the wisdom, we're feeling very weak. It is then that we are stirred up to pray. We feel needy, and so we're stirred up to pray that the Lord would meet our needs. And isn't that true prayer? Yes, there may be times when we're full of desire for God's glory, and we have received blessings from Him, and we're out of a thankful heart we praise the Lord. But very often the prayer of God's people is a poor and needy cry. It's a desire that God would help us in our great need. And God has promised He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. That is true prayer. A desire out of a sense of need. Do we feel our need tonight? Do we feel poor on the one hand, having nothing, and needy on the other hand, needing everything? We're so poor, we have nothing. We're so needy, we need everything, because we don't have anything of ourselves. We need God's grace. That's the emphasis. And so again, that's a question for all of us tonight. When we pray, do we pray because we feel the need of the blessings we pray for? Whereas before a person is converted, why are they praying? Well, they may have lots of desires. They may want more money, a better job, and so on. But do they need those things? It's the spiritual needs that we're talking about. And so before a person is converted, they may pray out of a sense of duty to satisfy conscience. We know we should pray, so we try to pray. We say all our prayers. Well, that's the experience of the unconverted. But when we are converted, we feel our need. And so we're setting out to pray, not just because we know it's our duty. We're praying because we feel the need to pray. I have to pray. I can't take a step without prayer. That's the way they feel sometimes, at least. They need the Lord's help. They feel the need of the Lord's help, and they need these blessings, and so they go to God for them. They desire these mercies. They desire the Lord's help because they need the Lord's help, so they're going to the Lord for his help. That is true prayer, and it stems from this spiritual poverty. Feeling the need of grace, feeling the need of salvation. Do you feel the need of the blood of Christ to wash away your sins? Do you feel the need of his righteousness to cover you and make you acceptable to God? Well, the Lord says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Do you feel that you need mercy? Now, that is what the Lord's people are brought to so often. I just need mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, mercy through the blood of Christ. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. And that is who you're trusting in. If you're one of these that God leaves in the midst of his church, "I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord." So we go on to consider in the third place the privilege of God's people. That is, they are trusting in the name of the Lord. Are you trusting in the name of the Lord? Well, what is the name of the Lord? It is God himself as he has revealed himself. And he reveals himself in his word. His attributes or perfections reveal himself. What we know of God is because of his self-revelation. He reveals himself, and his revealing himself is his name. "The name of God I with a song most cheerfully will praise, and I in giving thanks to him his name shall highly raise. All that God has revealed to me, his word, his promises, his truth, the knowledge of God for salvation, it's his name, receiving forgiveness in the name of the Lord Jesus." And the prophet says here that they shall trust, the poor and afflicted people shall trust in the name of the Lord, laying hold of the promises, laying hold of Christ revealed in the word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And we're to go to Christ revealed in the word of God. And this is our duty, to trust in him, as we read in verse 8, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord." We're to look to the Lord with earnest expectation. Wait on him. Yes, there are troubles and trials, but wait upon him until the day that I rise up to the prey, and so on. Well, let us be praying that we would know the Lord and we would trust in his name. And the meaning of the word trust is literally seek refuge. In other words, the Lord is a refuge for his people. He is a fortress, and we are to run to him. As we heard in the prayer this evening, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And we are safe only when we run to the Lord as our hiding place. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust." So it is. Now, the Lord's people who are poor and afflicted, they are trusting in the name of the Lord. They're going to Christ as their refuge. They are going to Christ for righteousness. They're going to Christ for sanctification. They're going to Christ for wisdom. Feeling their need of Christ, they're fleeing to Christ, going to him as their fortress, as if you were running away from an enemy and you're getting closer to the fortress with the high walls and the large gates and the drawbridge crosses the water. You're getting closer and closer, and the enemy is closing in upon you, but you make it to the refuge just in time, and the drawbridge closes up behind you. The enemy is suddenly stopped, and you're safe. Why? Because you're in the fortress. You have between you and the enemy this impregnable wall and the impassable waters, and you're saying, the Lord is my refuge, he is my fortress, they shall trust in the name of the Lord. So are we fleeing to Christ? Are we going to the Savior? Are we going to God revealing himself in Christ? That's what we need to pray for. Every one of us tonight, to seek refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to him. Go to him for forgiveness. Go to Christ to take away your sins and bring you into the favor of God, that you would be within the safety of Christ, who is the city of refuge. Seek refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the name of the Lord. God is in the midst of his people. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. The afflictions may be very painful. The problems and troubles are great. But God is saying that he himself is in the midst of his people, and they will not see evil. God will keep them from the evil of afflictions. He will keep them from sinking in despair. He will keep them, if they're trusting in him, keeping them from sin, helping them to go forward. And that is what he is saying. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Go forward in duty. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do not hold back. We're to have our eyes focused upon what God is calling us to do, and not be lax and not be holding back, but be girding up our loins and going forward in duty, looking to the Lord, because he is present with his people. He is in the midst of his people. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Well, this is a wonderful passage of God's word, full of precious promises, full of support for God's poor and afflicted people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. Is this your experience? Is it mine? Are we trusting in the name of the Lord? May he bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. Campbell.